So I'm going to talk about the comparison between small plot and field-scale agronomy trials. So you might say, well, this is the apple-orange comparison. So, no, I'm going to try to change the apple to orange so that they can compare. Okay, let's see how I'm going to, what should I press? Oh, there. Oh, these are, okay. Okay. We heard a lot about the 9 billion question, like we have to feed 9 billion people in whatever in the future. So we have to do, everybody has to do their part, so we have to do our part to try to increase crop yield. I guess when it comes to increase the crop yield, so you want to see what are the limiting factors. So some common ones like listed here, nitrogen, lodging, or disease. You can add on to this list. So it turns out that it's not the how much you can add, like how much excessive amount you have for a particular factor. It's the ones were lacking in the soil or in the crops matters. So in Western Canada, like we have some in Alberta in particular, like we have some agronomy study going on, try to using system biology approach to test numerous management practice, just trying to optimize the yield. So the target is trying to increase a yield by 25%. So we have these field scales, like what we call like wheat 150 trials, to try to achieve 150 bushel per acre yield in Western Canada condition. So anyhow, so these are small plot trials, and so they can accommodate a lot of combinations of treatment. But small plot is a small plot because it's under a very ideal situation, and how does that translate to the field level? So it needs to be confirmed. There need to be confirmed in field scale trials. So I think early talk was a nice setup for this. So talking about the some of the nice some of the properties of small plot. So I'm not going through those because I think Jose already covered. In terms of the field scale, just so that a lot of you, I mean, know it, but just refreshing your memory that, so it's much larger. We're talking about at least like in the order of 100-fold larger in terms of top size, right? And usually it's arranged in a strip on-farm like plot, right? It's like a strip by strip. And with plot that size, the spatial heterogeneity or spatial variability is a problem. And actually, a lot of time, farmers just wants to have track by track or pass by pass comparison. So, and often there is no replications, but there is a lot of repeat measures or pseudo racks, okay, within plot, okay. And usually, like if you have go through a lot of a big region, like the treatment are they don't have all the combinations because each farmer have pick and choose his own favorite treatment. So these treatments are highly unbalanced. Okay. So I'm going to talk about the small plot trials, wheat small plot trials that happening to 2014. So these trials carried out at the five locations in Alberta, Canada. Each of these trials are arranged in a strip plot design. I mean, don't confuse this strip versus the farm scale strip, because these are actually standard. If you go Steering Tory book, it does have a strip plot trial design, right? So these are standard designs. So it has a replication of four and a lot of treatments here. In total, it's a 48 treatment combinations. So in column, if you look at the right-hand side, there are four nitrogen levels, and then the rows are 12, the combination of the plant growth regular letters and the fungicide application. So I'm only interested for the time sake here, like I'm only interested in the column, like the nitrogen level here, okay? So, I mean, with this kind of a standard design, you can run prop mixed, so carry out your experiment, carry out your data analysis. So, suppose you've done that correctly, and so this is what you get from five locations in terms of three level of nitrogen. Well, I say three level, I said the four level, but there is actually three level. One is that just adding that the nitrogen stabilizer, that agritin is a nitrogen stabilizer. For that we're not really interested in that for a moment. So basically, if you look at the nitrogen level, so the no nitrogen and then the two level of the nitrogen. So lot of locations. Only one location, High River, has about 9% of increase. So at the bottom, there is a little bit of economic analysis. So in order to break even, you have to have that 4.5 bushel per acre if you apply for 30 pounds per nitrogen per acre. So that's the only site that can meet that criteria, so that can make a break even. Yeah, so anyhow. And so the key here is that Cassie was saying we should put standard error for everything. So we do have standard error here. So if you look at this standard error, just bear in mind, this is for a small plot, okay? And now we're moving to a field trials. We got a lot of field trials from Farmers Edge, but I'm only going to talk about one of them. So this is again 2014 field trials. And if there are three maps I'm going to describe. The first map is on top, is the nitrogen map at seeding stage. So as you can see from heat map, it's ranged from 8 pounds to 157 pounds per acre. Okay, so it's kind of a variable map. And then, so during growing season, there is in-crop nitrogen application, UAN application. So that's a prescription map. And so as you can see, there is a bottom half, that's your control. And then top half is kind of a mosaic of those one, two, three, four level of nitrogen application. Okay? And so that's a middle map, middle map, and then bottom map is the yield map. So that's the map produced from your monitor data. Okay, so it's a lot of data. It's over 66,000 year readings. Because it's a quite sizable area. It's almost 150 acres in this field. Okay, one thing for big data set, for a field scale data set, so for yield, for example, you have to clean the data because there's a lot of junk. So this is developed by USDA people, like your editor. So you remove the yield, extreme yield, okay? And then you convert the degrees into the meters. And then you have to do data alignment to align those three maps, okay? It's a lot of work. So we automated this in our software as described at the bottom there. Okay, so how do we change apple to orange? So basically, interested in the nitrogen, so basically like the essential, the new term here is the spatial pattern. So if I remove that spatial pattern, I should be able to compare the small scale and field scale. Okay, that's what we're trying to do here. So when you deal with the spatial data, large scale data, there is a problem of spatial autocorrelation. So what I mean by that? So so here a particular example at the bottom of a chart that there's ZA and Z5, it's closer than 8 and 10, right? So that's what we mean by spatially correlated. But in the traditional sense, we don't care where these observations are; they're independent of their locations. Okay. So we have to account for this correlation. Okay, there are different methods to capture this spatial correlation, but because you have over 60,000 data readings, it's very difficult, even with our current computing power. So we tried some of these methods, like pretty close to. It's kind of a generalized the nearest neighbor method that Jose was talking about earlier. So basically, there are three categories: the moving average or moving media of the nearest neighboring observations of, like in this case, we were all choosing like about 20 observations in the neighborhood, okay? Or simply just using the distance model, like just the distance from the observation to the neighbors. And then more sophisticated method is called Cregan. Okay, I have 2 minutes to finish this. Okay, so suppose you already know all this. and you know this as well. So this is, okay, so come to the UN, yeah. So, okay, so I talked about this five methods to extract spatial variability. So there varies from 70% to 80% of the total variability removal, right? So they're pretty good, okay? So, and the error, so if we don't remove this, it will, the red line would go to the error term, so it make your error unnecessarily large, right? So this is what we're trying to say here, is that if you, the red column is your error, a standard error, that without removal of a spatial pattern. And obviously, they're much larger then those after a spatial variability correction, okay? Depending, yeah, it doesn't matter which method, they're all getting smaller. Okay, some ongoing challenges. This is an unfinished business. So, now we're moved part of a spatial pattern. So, are we getting correct degrees of freedom and the variance of a spatially correlated data? Probably not. So, this is what we're trying to working on right now. So, we're wrestling with the concept of effective sample size, so and a lot of computational stuff going on. So hopefully, maybe can report in the future conference. Okay. So and in summary, so this is the small plot result does not generate enough yield increase to be economically feasible. Okay, substantial amount of spatial variability, 70 to 80%, has been removed through our method, and there are different methods applied to justify for it. But there, so the different efficiency, and there's some further work needs to be done. And with that, I think I have So the people from the particularly two people from Farmers Edge, Gary Rice and Craig Shan, provide us the data and the field scale trial information, and the funding from Alberta Crop Industry Development Fund.